Lieutenant Kane Halifax was having a particularly bad week. Not only had his targets, the Dusklights, completely evaded him, but two of them had been publicly featured in news stories, something that indicated very clearly to his higher-ups that he was not doing his job very well. At the very least, the lieutenant could say that Joseph, the emergent personality, should be dealt with by the SUEPD, but that was not the case with Sunlith. No, just the other day, in this very city, that dolphin had killed one of his officers, and then injured and killed dozens of civilians in a high-speed chase throughout the streets. Kane, at the time, had been eating at a restaurant, trying to clear his head. He had heard the sirens, but how could he have known his quarry was so close, that he would be so thoroughly humiliated? On any other mission, he would never have let this happen. His intuition would have put him in the spaceport right next to the late Reggie. There was something rotten about this planet, something throwing him off of his game. That horrible, metallic, bloody smell couldn't be escaped. The whole city was steeped in it, a great red dumpster full of corpses. Maybe, he conceded, it was time to retire. He wasn't a young man anymore, and no doubt his failures on this mission would stop any hopes of transfer or promotion. As the lieutenant mused on this, he heard the distinct crack of gunfire in the distance, towards the western checkpoint. Then he felt the unmistakable shaking of the ground, the footfalls of something very large moving closer. A radio report crackled into his ear. The clusterists were massing near the western end, not advancing yet, but waiting for something. That smell burnt back into the lieutenant's nostrils, stronger than ever, almost enough to bowl him to the ground. He reached for his pistol and stepped out into the street, waiting for what is to come, waiting for the end of it all. Hello, and welcome back to All That You Know, our Beam Saber campaign. My name is Colin, and I am the Game Master. Joining me today are Brian.
Hi, I'm Brian, and I'll be playing Hex the Bureaucrat.
Ewan.
Hello, I'm Ewan. I'm playing Loyal the Empath.
Zach.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I'm playing Geist the Ace.
And Adam.
Hi, I'm Adam. I'm going to be playing Joseph the Infiltrator.
Awesome. You have now all returned from your exciting vignettes, and you have had about 2 days to recuperate, which has already been reflected on your character sheets. I reduced your stress and damage. In that time, a couple of things have occurred, or more clearly, you've heard about a couple of things that have occurred. First, Geist has returned with a cuffed clusterist scientist who seems extremely unhappy to be here, and we will get to that in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Secondly, two news stories broke over the last day, which are substantial, and they shed light on what two of your squad members did over their vignettes. The first details a chaotic incident that happened in the city, in which Sunlith, a member of the Dusklight squad, shot and killed four peacekeepers, as well as one military police member. And that is in addition to stealing a violent terrorist and pilot, Maze Mourner. After that, Sunlith led a high-speed chase through the city, resulting in the injury and deaths of dozens of civilians. Sunlith is currently at large, which is no surprise to you, since he is right here with you all. Surprise. The second story is about a brutal killing which took place in the town of Greywood Sands. Footage recovered from the crime scene shows Joseph, an emergent personality, also a member of the Dusklights, killing a civilian in the apartments with what appears to be a chess piece. It is unclear of the motive here, as the roommate of the victim was left with minor wounds and nothing was stolen. A guest specialist in emergent personalities speculates that Joseph has gone completely rogue and has lost any moral programming or sense and should be considered extremely dangerous and killed on sight.
Wow.
That's only one death. Just one death.
Just
saying.
Talk about a
weekend. Do you guys wonder if maybe the whole purpose of Contrition's big mission was just to make Joseph completely incapable of integrating into human society so he never has second thoughts?
I'm convinced. What can I say?
Just a little thought I had.
Yo, my coworker's weird.
My coworker's worried as fuck. Let's go on to dreams. We're going to talk about dreams, if you don't mind.
Okay. I love to do this.
I never mind.
Loyal, your sleep is dreamless. And when you awake, there's something off about the world. It's like reality is as still as a calm ocean. But today, there are great waves emanating from somewhere in the distance. The veil feels thin, and the spiral on your chest aches, as if called to something just ahead of you. There is a feeling that the crown is ever so close to you now, that should the opportunity present itself, you may very well be able to pluck it from the air out of some other place and make it real. Or real again, because you already kind of did that. Geist, your dreams are filled with fire. You feel your skin burning and awake red and sweaty in the cockpit of the changeling. You feel a sense of finality come over you, a feeling that should you call out at the right moment with the right intent, that you may get an answer from martyrdom, and that Loyal, as is his role, may be able to anoint you as the king, returned from beyond. And with that, we will leave you with each other, back on your hidden ice base, waiting to hear back from Nyla regarding the information you sent her from your last mission at the teleporter warehouse.
I think I have a quick question, because I feel like this is something that Geist would have been doing probably since we got here at the base, actually. So he's having these dreams. Does the changeling move while he sleeps? Because he's definitely looking at it. He's like conspicuously parking it in front of like a security camera or something, or setting one up if we don't have one, just because he wants to see if it's moving at all while he's sleeping in there.
Do you want it to? I'll leave it up to you.
I don't want it to be like run around like doing like kung fu practice in the hangar or something. But I like the idea that maybe even with like safeguards active, it like shudders or twitches a little bit, like, you know, like that. You've seen Paranormal Activity, right? Like the first one.
I have.
Let's pretend I have.
It's like there's that point where, because it's like it's all like a found footage kind of movie, and they show like sped up footage of like the one woman being possessed and like standing outside of her bed, and it's really eerie. It like speeds like a few hours in the span of like a minute, and it's just like really fast footage of a person standing but not perfectly still, so it like it's just like moving and like just like kind of with the breath or whatever. I imagine it just like sometimes doing that, being with the safeguards off. It never goes anywhere.
I like that.
Yeah, I was just curious, but yeah, I think that's it. I don't think Geist would talk to Joseph about his murder. I think after learning about Loyal's little rampage, he might just sometime at the base just be like, "Hey, I just want to make sure you're okay after everything that happened in, you know, Terra Brea City. I mean, are you good?"
I think that any time Geist or anyone else asks him about this, he just gets this faraway look at his eyes and is like, "The mission did not go as planned," and he kind of just floats off.
All right, Geist wouldn't push it farther than that. Yeah, he's not going to ask Joseph about the chess piece thing.
Let's talk about the scientist, Geist.
Yeah, I got this guy, my new friend.
Where are you holding him?
Do we have a jail?
Arbot out of the ice jail.
I don't even know if that is an upgrade you can get. I would have to look. I think it is.
I have the sheet open. There isn't one. That's really strange. So I think Geist would probably keep him in, because we have this place is kind of like it's got like weird. I got like resort vibes from it just because of the weird fucking robot. But I imagine like we just like keep him in a stateroom that has been like swept for bugs after making sure that he doesn't have any technology on him or anything, and then we just have like some of the raptors posted as guards, and they like bring him his meals and stuff.
Okay, let's talk to him.
Sure. Geist is going to have Loyal come with. He'll be like, "Look, I gotta squeeze that scientist we nabbed for some information. I just want you to make sure he's being honest with me, if that's okay."
We'll make sure everything he says is true.
Cool. Does anybody else want to come? I'll come. Harold or Joseph interested?
Yeah, Hex wants to come.
Cool. Guys would definitely run it by everybody. So I guess, what's he doing when we walk in there?
I guess he's probably spinning in a swivel chair. just like kind of like left to right. He doesn't want to get dizzy, but he's just kind of like really bored. He doesn't have any activities.
Yeah, that's fair.
Unless you gave him like a fidget cube or something.
You probably would have given him something. You know, gave him some like maybe like a pen and paper or something.
He's writing his will. I don't know.
I mean, I told you I was going to have some questions for you, and this is it. Couple things before we start. This here, you might know who this is. This is my squad mate, Sunlith, and he can tell if you're lying or not with absolute certainty, so don't lie to me, and if you try to lie to me anyways, I'll probably hurt you. Haven't decided yet. Kind of just playing this by ear, but, I mean, you don't really have anything to lose at this point anyways, so you might as well cooperate.
If I help you, will you let me go?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't really have any reason to hold on to you after that. I don't know. Like I said, I'm winging it.
He looks the loyal.
that was true. Nothing that he said is a lie.
I just stare down at him and I make some of the servos in my exosuit whir louder.
Hell yeah.
That's very comforting.
Yeah, I want to know about the virtues. I want to know what you know about them.
Like all of them?
Anything you know about any of them. Maybe focus particularly on retribution and the ones that are still alive.
Okay, well, you might want to take a seat.
I'll take a seat, sure. I'll sit on the bed. I got all day.
You got all day. So he starts, and he says, so as far as, I was the lead researcher on the retribution system, primarily. That's where most of my knowledge is. I did work with some of the other teams early on. We did a little bit of collaboration. So I can tell you a little bit more about those, but I'll start with retribution. All the technology was acquired through Tyrell Kryon's connections. And I was trained by some of her people, people who aren't around anymore. Not that they're dead, they just left. They were definitely familiar with the technology, but there was a lot they weren't telling us. They only cared about operation. They really did not want us to understand exactly how things worked or what powered them. As far as how retribution worked, from what I could tell, the system transferred control of the host body into what we called the projector, which you saw that big frame-like statue in there. This is accomplished, I assume, by some sort of psychoelectric bridge, which to us humans is mostly a speculative technology, but it seems that someone figured it out. Whether that is a human or something else, I can't comment on. Once the pilot is in there, they can project this phantom to locations far from here. You fought it a couple times, I know, so you understand how that works. The farther away it is from us, the weaker it gets, and it can only sustain it for a limited amount of time before it collapses and the pilot comes back. We noticed that the more damage that the pilot sustained, or the projection sustained, the more difficulty we had transferring the consciousness back into the body. Something about the bridge held on to the pilot. We were not trained on this process. We were not able to alleviate it. My assumption is that it's irreversible, and we hid this from the pilot as long as we could to avoid any issues. And as far as the greater mechanics at work, like I said, there's no clear power source for allowing the transfer to take place. I'm guessing there's some sort of high-level psychic control that is beyond our grasp, especially because of the limitations that were put on us regarding our psychic communions if we worked on these systems.
Yeah, that was my other question. If these virtues aren't really inherent to clusterism, if it's just technology that you've been granted, presumably from an alien source, given Tyrell Kryon's connections and the level of technology at play, then why is it that, like, when we killed Duty, it sent out, like, a psychic shockwave? I mean, I read the reports. It was mayhem. If this is alien technology, why did it touch every single clusterist mentally in this way?
I wish I could tell you concretely. The running theory in my field is that these alien technologies, they blur the line between what we consider to be the realm of the mind and, you know, psychic techniques, which we still don't understand very well. and the realm of technology and engineering. Maybe there is just so much energy in duty, or so much attachment to it. Duty was one of the most well-liked virtues, at least as far as propaganda goes. It was kind of the poster child of the revolution. Maybe there is a larger connection with others, how they perceive it. And there's a smaller, almost, bridge between the virtues and the people. But this is speculation. You're right, the duty had a big effect, an effect that many of the other virtues didn't when they died, save for, well, I don't have the data to back anything up.
When I killed Retribution, did you feel it?
Well, I was there, so I felt it, yes. I haven't really had contact with the outside world, but I would assume there would not have been as much of an effect. Retribution was not seen as a very virtuous virtue by the people. I don't know. That's my answer.
Okay. What about Sacrifice? What do you know about him?
I don't have a lot of data on any of the other frames, except for maybe Martyrdom, because I did some advising for them. But we noticed that all of the other virtues utilized, like I said, a psychoelectric interface, a psychic connection with its pilots. Sacrifice did not. It didn't seem to utilize any of the advanced technologies that the other frames did. In many ways, it was the most normal virtue, just from the readings we have on it. From what I've heard, and this is just kind of a rumor, more than anything, because I've been so isolated, allegedly Sacrifice didn't even receive orders through the normal channels. It was like it either made its own orders, or it was getting them from somewhere else.
And what if I told you that Sacrifice was an artificial machine intelligence? We're the ones who cracked it open. We killed him.
That would be disturbing. I'm presuming this isn't a hypothetical.
No.
Well, that would mean that there's another party involved that provided Sacrifice. The rest of the virtues, while they're all very strange, even compared to each other, they all seem to have the same general principles behind them. It would suggest something else. I don't know what it would suggest. Another manufacturer, another involvement in the whole resistance. I don't know.
Why do you think so many external parties are so fucking interested in the Clusterist Revolution? I'm just looking for your opinion. I know you don't know a fucking thing.
Yeah, that is definitely outside the range of my knowledge. You may be surprised to know this. I know that a lot of this must seem hypocritical given the positions of the Clusterists, anti-alien, anti-artificial intelligence. I certainly don't think that our original leader, Panamenta, would have agreed to the use of these things, but I'm in no position to judge. I would guess that there is a common enemy. That is the most simple explanation. It's that Tyrell Krine, who is an outsider, has reason to want the downfall of the Soul Union. If what the Union claims about their whole end times prophecy is in fact true.
All right. Well, the last question I had is, do you know anything about where faith and attachment are?
As far as I know, attachment has been on standby for an operation. I don't know where. I know faith is in the Silt Valley. It's never been in combat. It's just kind of sitting there. I don't know why. Your people secured the Martyrdom frame, didn't you? Your squad was involved in that?
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're doing research on it.
Yeah.
Have you had any luck with that?
No, we learned nothing.
Geist looks back to Loyal as if... He looks back to Loyal and gives him kind of an unsure look, like he doesn't know if he should be completely honest with this guy. He's looking for Loyal to yay or nay.
Yeah, he just shakes his head and is like, no. Nothing at all.
Yeah, the previous team was trying to revive Martyrdom. Allegedly, the spark hadn't gone out. But, as you know, it didn't really go well for them.
Yeah, we saw the child scavengers getting their hands bloody, rifling through piles of machine parts right before the frame itself fucking dusted them.
That is a tragedy. communion, allegedly, from what we've been told and from what we've experienced, our participation in communion helps alleviate some of the worst side effects of exposure to these things. But that team that you busted, I believe they weren't even doing any communions for a long time because they'd been quarantined because of some concerns.
Yeah. Geist looks back to the rest of the squad and he's like, I don't know, you guys got any questions for this dickhead? I think that was all I wanted to know.
Not me.
Heck shakes his head.
All right. Well, unless you have anything else you think would be useful that you want to provide to me in exchange for improving your chances of surviving this ordeal with all four of your limbs intact, I think we're done here for now.
Okay. I don't think I have anything else for you. If I can think of anything, I'll tell you or I'll tell the people holding me.
Please do. Look, I don't want you to, like, blow your brains out or chew through the arteries in your wrists, so, I mean, if you need something to avoid going fucking insane, we're not barbarians. I don't know. Guy shrugs.
Some books. We good.
Yeah, I'll see what we can find. If you try to pull a fast one, though, I will kill you, and I won't hesitate, even for a second.
I have no interest in that. I am a scientist, not a assassin. He kind of looks at Joseph.
Fair enough.
Joseph winks.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, Geist, I think it's just going to nod and leave and maybe see about getting this guy some books. Because, I mean, he looks to Loyal before he leaves and he's like, no, that was a lie.
He told us everything he knew.
Okay. Good shit.
Yep, we'll leave. I mean, I'll leave. Anybody else can do what they like to him, but Geist, I think, is interested in honoring what he said. We'll find a place to drop him off, maybe on our next drop, if such a thing is even possible or practical.
Yeah, Hex is good with it. He leaves.
Cool. Yep.
Okay. You get a message from Nyla to prepare for a briefing in 3 hours and to prepare your frames and fire teams for immediate deployment.
Oh boy.
I feel like we're gonna let Gopher know. Are we still calling him Gopher? I think we are. I feel like, yeah, we need to give him a cooler call sign.
Groundhog.
Groundhog, yeah. That's a much more dignified rodent, for sure. Call him Marmoset. Monkey. Prairie dog. Yeah, prairie dog's better. But yeah, no, we'll get the whole base on high alert. I just, like, anytime this happens, I imagine that, like, there's, like, big flashing red sirens that are, like, flaring in our ice hangar, you know what I mean?
People are running around.
Yeah, running around hither and thither. I don't know. That's what's going on. So yeah, I think Geist is just gonna go perform some checks on the changeling and then go to our, like, communications place where we receive our briefings.
Sure. The fuzzy audio connection sparks to life in the communication room. It's pretty cramped in here. It's not really a proper briefing room like you have. Nyla, or you have been used to. Nyla's voice comes through, and she says, Joseph, Loyal, I don't have the time or the means to deal with you two, but I sincerely hope you know what the hell you're doing, and that is all I am going to say on that matter.
Joseph nods to a microphone, I guess.
Moving on. We've managed to crack the information that you provided from that device in the warehouse. Much of it was beyond our resources to understand. However, we came away with two important pieces of information. First is that the teleporter had been operating for a long time, since shortly after the start of the conflict, sending God knows what to the same location over and over again. Secondly, and most importantly, is that we've discovered where that second location is, and that is in the planet's orbit. An old defense platform that we had disabled during our initial orbital battle before we landed everything on the planet. We haven't exactly had control of the orbit, as you know, but at the very least we would have noticed if someone was flying back and forth between this platform and the planet itself. They must have counted on this. If I had to guess, I'd say they're trying to bring it back online. Maybe to stop any reinforcements from coming in, though they'd probably need much more than one platform to do that. Maybe there is another transporter we missed, or maybe it's linked somehow. We don't know. We don't know how these things work. You need to go up there and check it out. If they did reactivate the platform, destroy it, that won't be easy. It's meant to stand up to much larger weapons than your frames have, so be methodical, get inside, something like that. I'll keep a comm relay open down here, so as long as there's no haze field, we'll be able to communicate. That's all I have, unfortunately. Do you have any questions?
Do you think they could be rigging it online to fire it at the planet's surface? Maybe wipe Brea City off the map? We know they were trying to move Clusterists out.
Defense platforms can't fire on ground targets. The rail cannons are designed to penetrate hulls and are too thin to survive atmospheric reentry. That being said, it's been almost a decade. I don't know when they first got up there to start working on it, but it's possible. It's certainly possible. It would make some amount of sense. But there are a lot of Clusterists in the city. So that would be... that'd be quite the move.
I mean, their plan was to move them all out of the city. We knew that from the documents we swiped when we snagged the Martyrdom frame, and we fucked that plan up real bad when Harold here turned Crater City into an underwater attraction.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've been warping, tungsten up there for 10 years? Make a hell of an orbital drop slug, that's all I'm saying. Fuck. Alright, we don't have any information on this place. I mean, they don't really have a lot of virtues left, but I guess, you know, they might have Pierce up there. Right? Maybe Agi? I don't know. Could that be where the rest of their command is? This is like their super secret stronghold or whatever.
I don't know. All I know is that the Preacher is on the planet. We know that much. Agi probably is. They wouldn't be able to do any sort of regular broadcasts or communications from up there. We would have noticed. So, we haven't heard from Pierce in a long time. So maybe him, maybe Tyrell. We haven't heard from her in a long time, if ever. but, you know, we can't know.
I don't know. This whole thing, it fucking stinks to me. Like, sure, a teleporter is pretty fantastic technology, but like, if they're using the technology they're getting from these outside sources to do something as simple as moving materials, like, I feel like there's got to be something more at play. I don't know. None of this matters. I'm fucking speculating. It doesn't change what we have to do. It doesn't change the mission. I don't even know why I'm saying it, to be perfectly honest. We're ready, and I mean, I think we'll either be able to handle it or we won't, and the whole thing's moot anyways.
Okay. Well, on my side of things, as for the plan to end all of this, we've begun discussion with multiple mercenary groups. They are unsavory, but they don't mind doing dirty work, and we need them for that. If all of this turns out all right, in the next few weeks, we should be able to get them over here, and then the end will be in sight. They'll be able to do what they do. So just finish up this work, and you might just be home free. If there's not anything else, if there's not anything else, you're dismissed, and good hunting.
Can Worthy's ship get us up there?
Yes, it can.
Okay.
I think that's...
No, they got a big slingshot. You ready?
The cannon!
It's always a slingshot.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. A couple things happen. As you begin preparations, Loyal, Spud, Captain Spud, the Raptors, and the Sparrows are all assembled in the hangar, and Spud approaches you and says, "Hey man, seems like you're going. We're not going to be sitting this one out, obviously. So what's going on? What's the operation?"
Hello, Spud. Have you not had any briefing yet?
No. We just, you know, a lot of the time you kind of leave without us, and we don't get to, like, do anything, so I'm just trying to, like, kind of get ahead of that on this one.
We are disabling the orbital defense station around the planet.
Oh, fuck, yes. Zero gravity maneuvers? Are you kidding me? Oh, fuck. I had these mag boots for so fucking long. Oh my god, they're gonna be so stoked. Okay, great, thank you. We'll get ready.
Yes. I guess Geist will probably have to go to Gopher and be like, hey, I'm gonna have to be flying in space. Does my, like, jet mix gotta be different for that? Because there's no oxygen up there? Or, like, can you handle that? Can you do that?
In like 3 hours?
Well, yeah, in like 3 hours.
You'll be fine. Your frame is great for that. I need to look at everyone else's gear.
Nobody else can fly, so I don't think it matters.
Well, it's important that because they can't fly.
Yeah, I guess.
Let's just say a quick look.
I guess the rest of the squad is also going into space, so you'll need to make their frames also void capable in 3 hours.
My boss asked me to make my whole team's frames.
Can't even believe this shit.
He's posting on an internet forum somewhere. I'm so fucking mad.
Last door, back of you.
You have no gear on your frame, Brian. Because did you not declare anything?
I don't think I did.
Well, no, because you had your melee weapon. You used it on Retribution. I remember that. So you should at least have that. I could have sworn you declared things when you fought Retribution.
Let me look at the history here, but I don't think I did. I got disabled real quick. Maybe the cannon?
Because you fought Retribution before Sacrifice fucked you up. And I know you whacked him with a baton.
Were you tracking it in the foundry? Because there's a rack of missiles, melee weapon, and a cargo container in there.
I don't remember. Let's see.
Because you got to clear everything when you refitted your frames, too.
Yes.
Well, we'll figure it out. It doesn't matter that much. I know Joseph's is probably a little bit full because it's a light frame.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joseph's is full except for one, but one can't buy you. Oh, wait, no, you get a light mobility suite.
No.
You'll be Gucci then.
Can I take off my cargo space for that?
You can't take anything off without paying, and we're out of money.
Oh, yes, okay. We are flat fucking broke, sorry.
Why did I put cargo space on? I don't even remember.
Why would you have cargo space?
I know.
You put teleporter parts in your frame.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then let me look at loyals.
Oh, that just costs money.
Yeah, and you're poor as fuck. Loyal, you have room for a mobility suite if you need it, which you will. Might just want to go ahead and check that off now.
Yeah.
Is that just like the RCS thrusters you can get in like Kerbal Space Program? They let you make little adjustments. They're not like full like jet engines, but they'll give you a little push in one direction or another so you can maneuver.
Yeah, it's a full flight system that is going to let you do zero gravity stuff.
Bullshit.
So you're all fine. You're basically all fine.
Alright, mobility suite.
So
yay.
I guess Gopher would say well, luckily with the refits, it made it much easier to slap things on. So I can rush it and just get that set for you.
Good man.
Hex, we talked about this a bit before, but how are you feeling going into this mission, considering that you have basically have everything lined up for you already?
Hex is a bit shaken, just given. I mean, not just that, but with Loyal's little rampage and
Joseph's little rampage
about a
little rampage,
what Joseph might be doing in the background, but he's still following along. He wants to see it.
Okay. Time to pile in.
Yeah, let's get it.
Put me on the slingshot.
Awesome.
Yeehaw.
Worthy checks you all in as you get in the ship. He gives you a little reminder saying, I don't know if you remember your zero gravity training or whatever, but that's what's in space. I know it's been a while. Just, you know, keep that in mind. Yeah, good luck. And all the fire teams are now in the hangar with you. They're wearing like these dusty armored space suits. Spud is giving instructions on using mag boots for traction and like about just general tips, running them through like a little training seminar. What are you up to? This is a long ride. It takes a while to get to space.
Yeah, I'm impressed that where these little ship can achieve escape velocity. I guess that's probably fairly standard for a military deployment craft in the far future. I don't know. I think Geist is just probably sitting in the changeling. That's his favorite thing to do. He's just thinking. I feel like he's been real ever since he killed Retribution. He's just been very pensive, and he's spent a lot of his time thinking about stuff. And so he's just sitting in the changeling, thinking about stuff.
X is attending the Magboot seminar.
How long does it take us to reach 0G?
One sec, I'm Googling how long does it take to get to space.
Cool.
Okay, so this isn't, as you know, as the listeners will know, spaceships go straight up and they have a giant fucking thruster on them.
Yeah.
Yes.
That allows them to do that.
Quickly. Everyone knows this. Everyone listening knows this.
That doesn't take that long.
Yes.
I'm guessing Worthy just has very strong thrusters, but he's going up at an angle. Because he can't go straight up and down.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be possible. Let's say... And there's also, like, the curvature of the plane. I don't know. Okay, hours. It is taking multiple hours. Let's say 6 hours, just for the sake of it, to get into striking distance.
I just want to know when we can start to float, because as soon as that happens, I'd be going to some empty-ish room and just, like, experiencing zero-G, still in the exopod. Maybe just doing spins, meditating.
Yeah, at a certain point, you feel the transition into microgravity. The weight kind of gets removed from you. Anything unsecured begins floating in the air. They're like old shell casings that had rolled under like crates in the hangar. Little drops of sweat from, some spud with his helmet off. Dog tags that got on people's necks. Hex, in the microgravity training seminar, Spud is extremely excited. It's always saying like, it's a lot like swimming, you know, but like the water doesn't stop you. You can just keep going. You know, the bullets don't drop. You don't have to really account for that. It's really sick. You can really feel the vibe, you know?
Hex is learning a lot.
You're learning a lot. He gives you some mag boots. He's like, hey, you want some mag boots? I know you're like a pilot, but like, it's cool.
You never know. You never know.
Great. These are plot important mag boots. You're the one who gets to live. What's Joseph up to?
I don't know what Joseph would be doing at this point. I feel like his head's empty, which, if we want to continue with that thought, I feel like Joseph is like, he was looking at people in the hangar, probably alone. I assume no one wants to talk to Joseph, and he probably feels that. So he's probably just been standing in front of his frame, and then like an hour in, if people are looking at Joseph, they realize that he's gone rigid and he's not moving, almost like he's been turned off, and Joseph is just waiting. Joseph is waiting.
I think I changed my mind a little bit. As we're flying in escape velocity, I think that still in the changeling, Geist is going to try and open like a radio communication to Joseph, if he will accept.
Okay. I think Joseph maybe tilts his head from his stillness. And kind of like looks over the changing as you do that.
Yeah, look, man, I mean, I know this is just my curiosity getting the best of me, but did your buddy tell you to kill that woman? The one who wiped sacrifice out like it was fucking nothing?
Yeah.
Cool. It's really none of my business when somebody kills a clusterist. I certainly don't think you're a raving fucking lunatic, but I just need to make sure, you know, you're good for what's about to happen. That's all.
Oh, I've been ready for a while, I feel. Just waiting. But how are you, Geist?
I don't know. I mean, I killed Retribution, you know, wiped another virtue off the map. Go team.
That's good. Wow.
Yeah. I guess.
Impressive.
I don't know.
Did you fight this? Joseph's actually moving now. Did you fight this in your frame alone?
No.
Is that
no,
what you went out to do with Worthy?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's complicated. That's kind of where we got that scientist from. After our last fight, before we fought Sacrifice, I mean, I fucked him up so badly that not only was his frame really damaged, but I guess his mind got stuck in there. So we were infiltrated the secret facility, but it was just a matter of placing some C4 on a weird psychic statue thing and blowing it to hell, but I don't know, it's been weird since I did it. I mean, doing that, killing him was like the primary drive for my life. Basically, ever since I woke up from my coma, but as it got closer and closer, I didn't really think I wanted it anymore. And then, you know, by the time I was there, there was no satisfaction to be had at all. It was just, it was like putting down a sick dog. Just sad and kind of, I don't know.
Didn't fix anything, did it?
No, I think I knew it wouldn't, but I still had to do it for the war, if nothing else, and I feel like I owed it to him, really.
Yes, I believe you did the right thing. It was advantageous to all of us. And even if it didn't fix things, well, it fixed things for him.
Yeah, I guess it probably did.
I think that's all Geist has to say on the matter.
All right. Justin's going back into position.
He's going to stand still for the next 7 hours.
Okay. As you move through space, Worthy pulls up. There's like a screen in the cargo bay. This displays like a live feed from the cockpit. And it turns on and it kind of zooms in, enhance on an object far ahead. A half-destroyed orbital defense platform, half-lit by the sun. Surrounding it is a field of debris, which is a common sight in this formerly conflicted orbit. The massive railgun barrel extends out from a thick steel frame, nearly 1 kilometer in diameter. Not the gun, not like the barrel, that's just the size of the platform. That'd be crazy, though. when it was still operational, the facility would have housed a full-time staff of about 40, soldiers, operators with extra room for temporary residents. The defense platforms also served as like a orbital base where ships and soldiers could be garrisoned. It is very heavily reinforced. It is meant to absorb incidental fire from ship-sized weaponry, which is very big. Attached to the main structure are like these multiple smaller compartments, presumably accommodations and amenities of the platform for the long-term staff. And further sunward, which is what we're going to call that direction,
cool,
are where the docking areas used to be. And that area is damaged. The entire sun-facing side of it was destroyed during the first siege. And it's kind of no wonder that the structure was overlooked. It looks really messed up. As far as obvious landing places go, the right side looks ideal, where that damaged area is and where it used to dock. And that will, it's bound to lead further inside. And getting there or anywhere near the platform means navigating the debris field first, because Worthy has parked the car and asks you over the radio, "All right, pilots, how are we doing this?"
Well, shit, are we planning the mission now?
You are planning the mission.
Oh, love shit.
To be planning the mission.
We're not going to be able to clipboard this one.
Oh, no.
I don't think this can be any way except an assault at this point.
Yeah.
And this is us picking our point of attack right now. So is the implication that he can't fly through this debris field and he needs us to go in on our frames?
There's not a strict implication of that. He seems unwilling to. I guess he would probably tell you, like, "I don't know if I trust that debris field, and I don't know if they have any weapons on that thing, and I am not as maneuverable as your frames. This is not a strike craft."
Does it have any exterior weaponry? I don't think it's ever come up before.
I don't see anything from my end. But
no, I'm saying your ship. Do you have any guns?
Oh yeah, I have some, but they're for they're not good. They're not good guns.
All right, fair enough. Well, Dusklights, you feel like going for a little flight? I mean, this is an old hat for me, but I know it's maybe a little bit dicier for everybody else.
Seems exciting. Let's do it.
We just going in hard? Is that the plan?
Should we go in with our units? He kind of looks to the other guys. Not the team, but the other one else.
A good question. Yeah, what do we got to deploy the Raptors?
As you speak, Spud is I guess like a lot of insects. They've kind of crawled up to Loyal's frame and have stuck these little magnet clamps onto the back of it. And they're just like, "Oh, don't worry about us. Just don't try not to pull too many G's or else we'll die."
I'm assuming seems they're coming along to the Nautilus because it's the biggest.
Yeah, Nautilus is big and you have a shield.
Yeah.
Or you've used your shield in the past.
And I'm also really good at maneuvering in 3D because I swim.
Yeah,
that's true.
You're a dolphin. He's got that dolphin instinct.
All day.
Okay, I think this is it. I think we just got to go in. We got to hit him hard. Worthy. I assume that if shit goes sideways, a haze field will immediately go up, so I trust you to use your better judgment. If you see one of our frames ejected smoking into the void, do your best to pick it up.
Absolutely.
And as long as we still have active communications, I want you running sensor sweeps, you know, on this whole thing. If a fucking airlock powers up and you can sensor it, or you can sense it, you tell us right away.
Way ahead of you.
All right. It seems cold. Whole thing seems cold.
So far.
All right. Well, I guess this is it then. You guys form up behind me. I'll try and lead us in. If anything starts firing, I'll try and take evasive maneuvers. But, I mean, watch those rocks. They're all over the place. It's dicey maneuvering out here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's mostly, it's not rocks as much as it is, like, old frames, like bulkhead pieces, and, like, crumpled munitions, big ones.
No, no, Geist knows they're not actual rocks in the sense of, like, big stones.
Oh, okay.
But, like, it's just, like, big chunks of slag and wrecked shit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
I guess maybe
okay,
that...
Cool.
You know, maybe somebody else is confused.
Spud is really confused.
I'm declaring heavy pilot gear also for the first time ever.
Ooh.
Let's get out there. Let's go. Let's go have fun. That's the number one rule in the Dusklight.
Yeah, bring a good attitude.
Exactly. Yeah, bring a good attitude.
What pilot gear is everyone else taking?
Heavy.
Heavy.
Light. If there ever was a time. Oh, except for Joseph.
Yeah, light.
Gotta stay light.
Gotta stay light, baby. Gotta maneuver, you know?
You can't toaster if you're heavy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Okay. Engagement roll. You start with one dice for luck. Is the mission bold? Yes. It is bold. I'll give you another die. That's two dice.
Yeah.
Is the mission complex? No, it is not. Does the tactic exploit vulnerabilities? No, it does not. Is the tactic ineffective? No, not really.
Cool.
Do you have external support? No. Is anyone interfering with the mission? No.
Oh, that's not the answer I was expecting.
Is there a tier difference? Yes, there is a tier difference.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
What does that give you? I think one die.
Yeah.
I think that might be one die.
Are the Raptors not external support?
Oh,
no, they're internal support.
Oh, okay. But you do, because you're doing an assault, you get another die from your hyper booster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what the fuck? Our frames are super juiced to whip through this asteroid field.
Yeah, goodbye, Spud.
Yeah, see? Yeah,
hold on tight.
Dead. So that's two dice?
That'll be two dice. Who's feeling it?
So my real life, I think I mentioned before, I've been re-listening to the whole series, and my real life arc is getting really externally frustrated with myself whenever I say that I'm too unlucky to roll something. So I'm just going to do it, and if it goes bad, then it's just the... You know, it's the whims of a cruel, uncaring universe, and I will not take personal responsibility for him.
No.
Please roll good.
The dice tell the story. Here's the thing. We're going to get double sixes. Here are these box cars. Nope, that is a fail for sure, because the total was
that
4.
That is a failure. That is a hard failure.
It's that means we're pulling that XP that we'll never be able to use, that desperation.
I promised we'd win.
To make things interesting.
I promised.
Time to make things interesting. Okay, you proceed forward through the debris field, dodging old scavenged frames, bulkhead pieces, crumpled railgun bars, and as you float forward, what order are you in? Like, what's your formation?
I want to go in the back.
Changeling's probably in the front.
X is probably, I don't know, Joseph, where are you?
I think with X you, probably. I assume we're both behind. Yeah, I'm assuming it's like guys
in
front,
the
me and, me and Hex kind of in the middle, probably like side to side, and then our boy Loyal on the back with the Raptors.
Mm-hmm. Diamond formation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. As you float forward, dodging around pieces of debris, Loyal, a sudden proximity warning erupts onto the screen of your frame, and you turn to face it just in time to stop it from impaling you, but it knocks you out of formation, sprawling into the debris field. It is an angular frame, limited armor, but it looks extremely maneuverable. It is jagged and mean-looking, with these black triangular struts jutting out chaotically in this beak-like cockpit extending from the center of it. In each hand, it is holding these circular curved blades like a crescent moon, glowing with heat from inside. They are pressing just on the outside of your cockpit, and you are barely holding them back with like a crossed arm. What do you do?
Do we recognize this frame? Is this in the data?
You do not recognize this frame, but it is broadcasting a friend or foe signal now that it's activated. And this frame you can refer to as love letter. I mean, I think more accurately, you probably see it painted on the cockpit in like red paint. It's very close to you, after all, so you can read it up close.
Yeah, I want to activate my shield and then ping everybody and be like, contact, contact.
Okay, what are you doing to stop yourself from being impaled?
Yeah, I want to get away. First and foremost, get away and then activate shields. So I'm assuming that would be a roll to dodge away. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see if I can back up my... I'm really good at space travel. Talk. Got two. And maneuver. And this is desperate?
Mm-hmm. Desperate.
All right. Let's do it. Let's get some XP.
We love XP.
I'm not going to push myself. I want to save my stress or other things. So let's do it.
Yay! Hey!
Let's go.
Yes!
Six and a five.
Away.
Okay. You managed to make some distance between yourself and Love Letter, I think. Are you trying to get back to the group specifically?
Yeah.
Okay, because you were separated. Yes, you managed to not get the men on you crushed as well, which is good and important. We don't want the bud to die like that. That'd be very unnoble.
Undignified.
It would be very undignified. As you kind of get your bearings, Loyal, I'll give you this as your kind of reward for the success. Is you notice that there are two more frames in the combat area. I've put their clocks up. They are a 4-step clock and a 6-step clock, with Love Letter also being a 6-step clock. The 4-step clock is call sign Gallows, mid-sized frame, kind of your typical one, looks like Hex's, you know, classic surplus, modified with a thruster suite, and it has a big-ass beam rifle attached to it with an external charge pack. It is sat on a piece of debris, kind of in cover, a distance away. And the second is call sign Spoilsport. That is a 6-step clock. And Spoilsport is all the way back at the defense platform, which is quite a ways away. A huge four-armed frame with a boxy cockpit and squat little legs. And this giant cannon it is holding with all four arms. And that is where I will put you. And now everyone else, you can decide what to do. Loyal has kind of regrouped with you as this other frame kind of darts into the debris field to break line of sight.
Cool. Could I feasibly get to Spoilsport in one maneuver action, or is it too far?
If you roll a 6, sure. Otherwise, I think you'd come short.
Okay. And Gallows is closer than Spoilsport? Sorry, I missed exactly what...
Yes, so let me draw, because we are kind of in 3D space. And I'll narrate to our dear friends. Okay, so I'm going to draw it at the top of the screen. Okay. So for the viewers, basically, if you're thinking of it as a top-down thing, even though it's not, because it's 3D, we have Love Letter, who is this little dual-sword assassin, off to the right, kind of close. Gallows, who is this sniper... kind of in the upper left, farther away, and then all the way on the opposite side where the platform is where Spoilsport is, which is this, like, cannoneer.
Okay.
I could probably get to Gallows then, right? With one maneuver?
If you succeed.
And he's got a big beam rifle? He's, like, more feasible than getting to Spoilsport because he's closer.
You could definitely get to him.
Okay, cool. I'm going to try and do that. Because I think that Hex especially has much better long-range capabilities. So I think, Hex is going to boost and try and close with Gallows and basically get inside of his firing arc. And I assume that would be a maneuver?
Absolutely.
Cool! I wonder if it's worth using my favorite ability, Advanced Prototype, that allows me to push myself for increased effect and +1 die. Am I at standard effect doing this, or am I at limited effect because he's so badass and cool?
Well, you're just go getting to him, so you're not going to be really doing anything on his clock.
Okay. So I guess, yeah, it's probably not worth it right now. Yeah, I'll, I'm going to try and maneuver up close to him, and we'll see how it goes. Here we go. Maneuvering, and is this desperate as well?
Yes. They have the range on you right now, so it is desperate at this moment.
Failure. That's three. That's three threes, everybody. Three threes.
So you've rolled two twos and three threes so far.
Yep.
Oh, 4-4 is coming up.
4-4 is coming up. That's good. Okay.
I love getting a desperate consequence as the very first thing that I do. It's really fun.
It's the final mission.
It seems like it should be pretty easy to get to him. You're a pilot. You're very good at piloting, like specifically maneuvering. And you kind of you rush the debris field, like dodging all sorts of little pieces of shit. And then you clear a little chunk of armor. And then as you're like moving over it, like a little warning pops up. And you see that there is a little... It's almost like a depth charge. Like one of those naval mines has been like hidden in between the debris. And it just goes off. And so you are going to take... I don't want to just fuck you up, because that's boring.
Oh, no.
Two things. Okay, so first, I guess it's more like three things. So you're going to take the level 2 damage, concussed. Your frame is, like, all fucked up.
Yep.
Getting pushed back. Nothing too fancy. You've been thrown... I guess in three dimensions, you've been thrown up... Like, away from everything, which is going to put you not close to anything. So you'll have to maneuver again. And, thirdly, I'm checking your fragmenting clock. Which will fill it up if you don't resist. As, like, something, get this rattling, just as, like, you are particularly sensitive, I would say, right now, with everything going on.
Okay. So, first of all, I'm going to... What is it to resist my fragmenting clock being ticked?
I think it's resolve.
Okay. So resolve, and I get a third die because of our new special ability.
Fortune
Fire, which is cool. I'm just trying to think of the damage. So I'm not going to resist being thrown. I have armor, so I'm going to check off. Do I have to check off both things of armor to resist one?
To resist level 2 damage? Yeah, that's typically how we've done it.
So I already have armor, so I just, like, use it, and that brings it down from a 2 to a 1, is that right? And that's, like, 2 load worth of armor?
Yes.
Okay.
But in this case, specifically, I'm going to let it get removed.
Okay.
It feels appropriate in this
part. Okay. Sure. So my armor is used up, so I'm no longer hurt there, and I think... The thing is, I'm fine with the fragmenting clock filling up now. I think that this is a good time for it to happen, but I'm worried that it might incapacitate me for a time. That's not something that I'm allowed to know before I decide to resist this or not, right? Just to be clear.
Well, I mean, this is a collaborative game.
Sure.
I don't think it will take you out of the mission. It will take you out of the next turn at least.
Maybe I should just get it over with. Maybe this is ripping off the Band-Aid.
I think it'd be very cool.
It would be cool, but in my mind, and I don't know, I figured there would be a dramatic time where I would need to resist something and I could manually fill the clock up. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm good at resisting with stress. My stress bar is empty. I'm going to save it. I'm going to save my fragmenting clock for now. And I'm just going to roll my 3D and take that much stress or like the inverse of that much stress. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. Zero stress. Boom. Big six.
4, 5, 6.
That's a good. Where were you 5 seconds ago? Okay, so I don't fragment. I fly away and I don't take any damage. I've just lost armor.
Yeah, and you've been positioned elsewhere.
Yes.
You've not made it to the target. Okay. Hex and Joseph, do you want to do anything, or do you want to just hang out? That'd be fine too.
Yeah, maybe throw a ball around.
Yeah, we can
just
hang out. Exactly. I think this is a good heavy cannon time. Maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hex is gonna try shooting at who's back middle. Is that a love letter?
Spoil sport.
Spoil sport.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna go after this guy over here.
So let's pick that one. Oh man.
Yeah. Oh wait, that was zero dice.
Yeah, I'm at zero dots in Bombard.
Oh, wow. Shit, man. Well, that's a 6 and a 4 for everybody at home.
That's not bad for a zero dice.
It's really fucking good.
Whee!
So, you're going to do your damage to old Spoil Sport. We'll squat, you do 2 ticks to him with partial effect, and then your consequence is, I think your munitions cross each other. you fire at Spoil Sport, and then you notice that he is fired back at you, and you hear like this little noise, like plonk, 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 as these tiny little magnetic spheres cling to your frame, and they go off. And where's my description of this?
Oh no!
It's weird. My bullet's coming back.
I don't remember shooting that one.
They explode into what is almost like a thermite, and it starts to melt off all of the armor on your frame. So you're going to take the... you're probably in a risky position, just because you're all the way back here right now. So I will give you just a level 2 damage as well.
Yeah,
which will be melting.
This is fine. Like the dog on fire. That sucks. Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you want to resist that or check off armor to reduce it?
Let's check off armor.
And that will kick it down to level 1. I'll just give you that. Singed. Good. Good.
Thank you.
Joseph.
Joseph, let's snipe the sniper with a bombard. What you say?
Gallows?
Yeah.
Or not the cannon guy? Okay, cool.
Gallows.
Oh, no, geez. Another 3-die failure. 1-3-1.
I'm going to look right into the barrel here before I fire it off.
I think it's jammed.
Yeah, hold on, that laser's in there pretty deep. Let me pull it out.
I didn't turn it on.
You line up a perfect shot, but unfortunately you have forgotten that there is a third frame in this fight. And Love Letter comes up behind you and I think chops your gun in half with the first strike. And then with the second strike, kicks you back into like a chunk of debris. So you're just going to take the level 1 damage dented, and you're going to take your laser rifle is gone. So destroy it. Remove it from your sheet.
Can I resist losing the thing?
Yes, you can resist either of those or both.
I should probably keep my laser gun. So what is resist? Can I resist with armor?
This is quirks.
Okay.
For this in particular, so this is going to be I think it would be an expertise, so you're going to check off 2 of your quirks down here.
Okay, like over here, yeah.
Yeah, over there.
Okay.
Bing, bing.
And so you managed to dodge your gun being destroyed, but you are kicked away, unless you want to resist that too.
No.
Dented.
So that's a level 1 damage?
Yes, which will lower any effect going forward.
What's the damage? I'll probably just take that. I don't want to lose everything. Debented. There we go.
Yeah, you do have armor if you wanted to check it off, but that's up to you.
Okay, yeah, I guess why not? I will do that.
Okay, I think we can get back to Loyal. Loyal, you are with, I guess, Hex, because Joseph's been kicked back.
And Love Letter is right there with us.
Love Letter is right next to you and is wants to chop you up.
What the fuck?
They're pissed.
Yeah, I'm assuming that because I'm towing a bunch of people, I'm not really combat maneuverable right now, so I think my first priority that I want to do is protect my passengers at this moment. Yeah. I would love to find just some cover behind one of these slag heaps that I could get a good shot off from, but I want to hide.
I think that is still a maneuver. You are in a risky position now. Partial success. Okay. You do it, but as a consequence, you suffer armor complication occurs. You have reduced effect, or you end up in a desperate position. What do I want to do? What do you have? What can I break? What can I break on you?
I'll break
you. Okay. Yeah, here's what I'll do. You dart behind cover, and you manage to close off the sight line between Love Letter, who was kind of pursuing you, and you manage to shake her off, Unfortunately, this allows Gallos to get a pretty good bead on you. And he fires his giant laser rifle at you, as he now has a good line of sight on you, which is going to do the following. It is going to do the level... Actually, I'll just have this be your only consequence, because it's really severe. Are there any clocks I can tick? I don't think so.
Looking for worse things to do to us.
Except, full disclosure, if you get a very low consequence, it's because there's an invisible clock I'm ticking. I should probably have told you up front.
Stay away from my fragmenting clock.
Your eclipse your movement suite, so you're no longer able to move gracefully in zero gravity, which is a very big problem for you.
Yeah, I would like to resist that with one of my quirks.
Okay, that I think would likewise be an expertise roll. Or not a roll. You don't do that. So you just check off two quirks.
Yeah, I'm going to use my sonar to have anticipated this and not have to deal with it. And my other quirk that I still never actually named. I have two that I couldn't figure out what they were.
One interesting thing I guess I should point out, there's no haste field up. They're not using one.
Yo, relax, relax, relax. Stop.
That makes me feel like they don't want one to be here, which makes me feel like I should put one up just as like a fuck you. Oh yeah, you don't like a haze field, motherfucker? You don't like it? Make you upset? Make you a little sad?
Do it.
Ooh, could I have a quirk that I can make a haze field?
That's not, you can just do that anytime. Anyone can do that.
God, is it worth cutting ourselves off from Worthy and potentially from each other just to out of some kind of
funny bit?
Well, it's not even a bit. I feel like there might be a real practical because they're doing some kind of weird project up here, and I wonder if we might fuck it up a little bit.
You think they're like talking? Yeah,
you would still have short distance communication.
Yeah.
Like within the field. So
okay,
with each other, you'd probably be fine.
I mean, like, why would we need to contact Worthy right now?
Exactly. Like, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
It'll also cut you off from Nyla, who you do technically have a connection with.
That's true. But I mean, assuming they don't put one up, it means that we can just drop it if we need to.
True. Yeah.
So yeah. Sorry. Has anybody not gone yet? Is that the whole?
I think
so. We're back at the start. So any of you can do what you want now.
Okay. I think regardless of anything, Geist is going to be like, these guys clearly have no haste field up for a reason. I'm putting up mine. And, so now everybody knows that we can shut it off if we have to, but now there's a haze field up and these guys can go fuck themselves.
Uh-huh.
Yes. That haze field is probably encompassing, I don't know if it's hitting spoil sport.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's all. It doesn't matter that much. Okay.
Okay.
Guys, what do you want to do? Who do you want to go after? You're sprawling up in the air. You're kind of distant.
I'm still pretty far away. What's his face? I could bombard Gallos, but I could not battle him realistically with my effect intact at this range. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I think I might have the changeling change. I think I might try and fucking ding him with my railgun.
Awesome.
So I will push myself to do this. I'm going to spend overburdened with ordnance. I'm going to spend one quirk for an extra die. What will my effect be? Will it be standard or limited?
Standard. Well, unless you don't have damage, right?
No.
I don't have damage. Okay, standard.
Okay, cool.
Standard effect. Risky position.
Great. And the good thing about this is that if I fail, I don't spend the quirk because, and this is something everybody should remember, if you're spending a quirk to fight and your action fails, you get it back because of our Reaver's special ability. So don't forget
about
that.
Which we've never used.
No, this might be the time because I have three dice and I'm really good at failing three dice checks.
All right.
Plus one die, risky, or sorry, desperate standard. Let's get in there.
No, it's going to be green. All green.
Six, that is a 6-4.
Thank you, Brian.
Let's fucking go. Bombarded.
Yeah.
So for one of the rare times, the changeling morphs and changes its shape, and rather than being a sleek and very maneuverable thing, it just turns into a gigantic gun, and a railgun slug rockets across the debris field to hit Gallos.
Yeah, you get a very solid hit. I think you take off Gallos' leg, which he's like barely holding on to this little piece of debris. I think it's maybe spinning a little bit now, just from the impact. And that is two ticks on his four-step clock.
Nice.
Hex, there's a big sword person next to you.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. He's right there.
Joseph, you can also see this, so either of you are kind of well-positioned to deal with this problem.
Hex is going to try battling him with the baton.
Fuck yeah.
You're going in melee range?
Yeah.
Okay. Do it.
I'd say this is risky.
It's desperate.
This is risky.
Oh, is it risky?
Well, actually... you know what, Zach? Thank you. You're right.
I should have kept my mouth shut.
In this particular situation, this is desperate.
Nothing desperate about it. Cool as a cucumber. Watch it. All green.
6-1-1. You don't even need those other dice. You don't even need them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your goal here? What kind of move are you doing?
Hex is just trying to fucking hit the cockpit as hard as he can with the baton.
Awesome. Yeah, she does some fancy shit. Looks like she's trying to chop you up real good. And then you don't fuck around with any of that. You just do the most predictable little bonk you could. She doesn't see it coming. The cockpit like crumples a little bit and she kind of dashes away farther back. That's two ticks.
Nice.
Let's go.
Although you do have damage. So there's actually one tick.
Damn.
Unfortunately.
You're pretty tough. Joseph, want to finish the job?
I'm wondering if it seems like you got that handled. I'm worried about this gallows guy over here. That he's just going to start picking us off from afar.
That's maybe a good point.
Maybe I should try again with another laser shot. A bombard, if you will. But can you blow on the dice first, Brian? Can you give me a little luck?
Yeah, you're in desperate position, just so you know, Joseph.
You got it. Okay. You got it. I saw to it. Don't worry.
Desperate standard.
Desperate standard, baby. All right.
Blow his ass up.
A little bit of Brian luck. Thank you, Brian.
Ooh, there it is. I think that will do it for Gallos.
Fuck you. You fucking... I hate you.
Fuck you, Leather Man.
I got nothing clever to say. Just die.
I hate you. I hate you.
I hate you. You haven't even, like, got me yet, but I hate you.
one laser man to another.
Yeah.
It's pure hatred. There can only be one. Yeah, your beam crosses the entire battlefield, and it strikes Gallos on the big battery pack on his back. And that thing gets very bright and very hot, and it explodes. And where once there was a frame and a chunk of debris, there is just a couple, or actually one floating leg is all that's left.
Jesus
Christ.
Yeah.
Done.
Dunzo.
Okay. I guess we're back to Loyal.
Now that guy is gone, do I have any sight line on Scapegoat? Very far away.
Spoil sport.
Fuck.
I like Scapegoat.
Yeah, that's good. That's definitely call sign worthy. He's pretty far. You can see him if you want to try to shoot at it or bombard. Love letter is closer for sure.
Yeah, but engaged in melee with my good friend Hex.
We're just hanging out.
I still don't have any in bombard, which is funny. Let's see, I'm still very reluctant to go fight since people are attached to me.
You could ask them to get off.
Like a mother whale with my umbilical cords.
Or like a mother possum.
Yeah, like that. If you could swim. I would say that I need them to detach. And if they want to stay safe, then hang out behind this big hunk of slag that I have sheltered us behind.
Sure.
And
yeah, they get off willingly.
I want to go help Hex. I want to help pincer this sword lady. Take out the drill.
Do it.
With a battle.
I guess you didn't get moved that far away. You kind of just broke line. So yes, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, I battle. See if I can. And I zoom back out. That's my position.
Well, have risky, Sandard. You outnumber her now.
Excellent.
Six. Wow, you guys are on a roll.
Holy fuck, man. This This is good. I'm not going to say it bodes ill. It's fucking awesome, and we are cool, sexy pilots who do dope shit all the time.
Why would you say it bodes ill? Why would you do that?
No, I didn't. Brian, you got to keep it quiet. More than anyone, Brian. Just be happy, Brian.
Keep your fairy dust, Brian.
What does your attack look like?
If she's still distracted with Hex, I want to just kind of either go underneath or above her, take advantage of being in 3D space here.
Yeah.
And just come down on her with the drill revved up.
That's dolphin tech, right, baby.
Yeah, you drill her good. You take a big chunk out of probably like the sensor suite and part of like the cockpit armor plating. This snaps off. She goes down, I guess, relative to all of you. 3D space is so confusing. And I think at this point, I think Spoilsport fires like a big cluster of it's almost like fireworks, space fireworks, like these big blue like shining orbs. They blow up and they like shoot off all these bright little particles in every direction. And I think Love Letter kind of makes some distance between the three of you and says over comms,
"We've been given the order to withdraw. No need for this to continue unless you're so eager for blood."
Interesting.
Are they lying?
That's the truth.
Yeah, I wouldn't say anything about that if they're not lying.
What the fuck do you... We're attacking you. We're attacking your position. You don't get to just call fucking time out. That's not how this works.
I agree.
What... Where are they falling back to? Are they falling back to the platform?
It's not clear, because Love Letter's all the way out there, and Spoilsport's already at the platform. I mean, they're not clear that you're gonna let them.
I guess if they stop attacking, we should just follow them.
Yeah, I mean, like, she's not like attacking you anymore.
Maybe we can give orders. Tell them to do stuff.
I guess I'm going to fucking talk to them. I'm going to open my own comms and be like, so Geist is, he's preparing another attack. He isn't doing it yet. He's staying his hand, but he's like still in fight mode. And he's like, "You realize this is an assault. If you want us to, if you want to preserve your own lives so badly, get the fuck away from the platform. I'll only ask once."
Okay. Where do you want us to go?
Exactly. It's just as taken aback as I am.
Oh, fuck. Hell.
Gotcha.
What exactly is the meaning of this? Why would you let us just walk in?
I think she just says,
"It's over. It's, there's no need for us to fight anymore. It's in other people's hands now."
"You want the bloodletting to end? Let me see you jettison those weapons out towards the planet and you park yourself on a piece of rock."
"I'm not surrendering. I'm willing to stay out of your way. I know you want to get in there. Go ahead. But I'm not going to leave myself at your mercy. Sorry."
It would be, here's the thing, and I think this is Geist's line of thinking as well. It would be nice to preserve our resources, but it would be not nice to get shot in the back when these guys pile in behind us.
Yeah, that's why I think we could have the Raptors watch them.
You have a human lie detector.
That is true. If we go in there, are you just going to come up behind us and try and shoot me in the back?
No, like I said, it's over. It's in other people's hands now. You'll see.
That's the truth.
I actually intend to follow through with this.
Fuck.
Look, I don't know what the hell this is. Clearly they think they have one up on us. I don't think we have anything to gain by drawing this out. If they're going to let us walk in, we should do it. Geist will drop the haze field. And he'll actually message Worthy and be like, "Worthy, can you see these two frames?"
Yeah. What's up?
"They're letting us go inside. I need you to watch them. And if you see them do anything, you message me. You check in every 5 minutes. If I don't hear a check in every 5 minutes, I'm going to assume something's fucky and we're pulling out."
Okay.
And then I think Geist goes back on the public comms and he's like, "Fine. If you try and screw me over, just know it won't work."
Same goes to you, pal.
It would that would be a really funny time to just shoot Lovelader in the face with my railgun. It would be so funny, but I'm not going to do it because I've grown as a person and because Spoilsport still has 7 ticks in his clock, so I don't really want to fuck with that. Yeah, let's get in there.
Whatever's in this station must be worse than whatever they were going to do to us.
I have a feeling it has something to do with us winding up on the planet somehow. I'm thinking it's some fuckery, some psychic fuckery. Let's see, but let's go in.
It's always psychic shit.
Yeah. Is Loyal able to maneuver in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Without in non-combat, you could like even carry him in it. It's not a not an issue.
I'll do that.
I didn't actually lose my things, did I? I resisted that.
Oh yeah, you resisted it.
Oh yeah, then you're fine.
So you're
I
good.
Can go anywhere I want.
Are you taking the raptors with you?
Yeah, I'm gonna go hook them up.
And the sparrows.
Everybody.
Okay. You bring them.
Protected all my baby birds.
Yeah, all your baby birds are fine. They're all asking for food.
Are they going to die?
Yeah.
they always do. This is something else that I've realized as I listened through the series again. The sparrows have not once completed a task. Not even a single time. Anytime we send them to scout, they get fucking blown up, and then we just backseat them for the rest of the op, and it's happened like 3 times, and then we just stop using them completely.
It's time to redeem yourself.
They're the ones who died instead of you. That's what they're there for.
That's true. They're like ablative armor.
Exactly. Be a little better. They regenerate too. There's always more of them.
Yeah.
They like do like mitosis, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
You get to the platform's far side, presuming that's where you want to go.
Yeah, we're trying to get in.
Yeah. This used to be a hangar. And it kind of leads through this big half-broken door into a barely lit warehouse, with the only light being kind of the sun coming through in slivers through the broken bulkhead and some like these tiny shrapnel holes in the ceiling. So there's these little tiny beams of lights all around. Do you proceed?
I think we have to. I think Geist, he's back in speed mode. He's got his machine gun up. And he's just like, all right, I'll take point. Spud, get your guys out. You know, you're on intel.
On it.
Yeah, see what you can find. Alternate exits. You know, any functional machinery, whatever you got. Try and stay out of the way if a frame fight starts. Let's find out what the fuck is going on up here. And I think Geist is going to take point. And, I mean, I think we can probably keep our diamond formation, even if we're just, like, walking in a hallway.
Are we still in our frames or no? We're out.
Yeah. This is a very big room. You can frame around in it.
Okay, gotcha.
Anything on the sonar now that we're in here? Quick scan of the place.
Roll if you must know.
Roll if you must know. That goes really, really well every time.
It always works.
Oh, no, wait. Yeah, you got to get Brian to blow on the dice.
Okay, this one's going to work.
This one's going to work. He did it.
That's a partial. Hey, that's good. Impartial. That's good. That was absolutely going to be a 1 before you blew on the dice. So.
I believe it.
I know statistics.
You get to the... you move through the warehouse, scanning as you go. And kind of as you move through, something catches your eye. I guess I should start with your consequence. That's easier. Loyal, there is an oppressive presence on you now. It's always been there, you know. TKR, martyrdom, whatever you want to call it. But it is so close now. It is like it is stepping on your neck, just pushing you towards doing what you're here to do. It is so close now. And as you feel that, you kind of almost stumble upon this thing that you've scanned, which is an elevated platform, you know, partially disassembled. Covered in hexagonal tessellation, and you understand what this is. It is the receiving end of the teleporter. And as you kind of look on it, the facility comes to life, turns on, lights flickering, and there's this loud thrum, and things kind of seem to be moving in the facility. And at the far end of the warehouse, you all see a solitary frame, one that you have seen in perhaps training videos or in historical records, and it is the infamous Jupiter Cowboy, Pierce Sunspire's frame and namesake, a white and orange geometric frame. Its center mass is almost like a 20-sided die. Its limbs bear the same style, thick and metallic with these little pressed in points, almost like a roughly sculpted clay. Wields no weapons, though you all know, and especially you guys since he trained you, that its armaments are kind of hidden within those limbs and into the outer layer of its cockpit.
Does it have like a? Does it have an active call sign? Like it's a active frame in the combat area?
Oh yeah.
Is he in there?
Yeah. If you're just looking at it, you hear a voice that you guys are very familiar with, though it's been a very long time. The man who trained the Moon Devils, who trained you, Pierce Sunspire, and he says,
"It's over, you four. There's no more need for bloodshed."
What the fuck do you mean, Pierce, you fucking traitor?
I just want you to know, Garrett, that everything I did and have done and will do was for a good reason. There was so much more at play than even we thought.
So what is it that you think you've accomplished here, huh? The virtues are all dead. Clusterist military command is... I mean, it doesn't seem like it's doing so hot. The conflict is ending, except for this little science project using some kind of alien technology that you have gone through extreme lengths to keep secret. But here we are, and you expect me to believe you when I say that it's over.
Oh, hey, was that a lie, actually? Does Loyal know if he's telling the truth?
That he thinks it's over?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth.
He believes that he did everything.
Okay.
For the right reason.
I think before he says he'll leave you with this. That sounds ominous. That's not the right wording. Anyways, he says this.
There, perhaps you've seen it or felt it after these years, that there are things at work here that we can't fully understand. Adjumenta, before I defected, she showed me them. The virtues are just a piece of the puzzle. But they're dark influences, even the virtues, and the only way to resist them, the way that the Prophet Breamonta, for all her faults, discovered, was through communion and through this tradition. And it's for that reason that I defected. And as for everything else, I will just let you listen and decide.
And so two things. One thing, that is all true. The other thing is that what he said is kind of familiar to you. You feel like you may have heard it in your psychic communion at some point, though it's very distant. His words are kind of ringing a bell. And then his voice comes over the comms again. But this time, it seems like it's almost... it's like a well-rehearsed speech. He's not just like talking to people. He says, and you notice that this is not being just broadcasted to you, but everywhere, it is going out.
I now address the peacekeepers in Brea City. It has been a long and terrible war, one that we have all been scarred by. The time for argument has passed. We have both tried to reach a compromise. I will not retread the right of clusters to exist, nor will I allow your excuses about this Uro doomsday of your own making. No, now is the time for action. I stand at the helm of the Resistance's final gambit, a retrofitted defense platform which is now aimed directly at the heart of Brea City. Loaded into it a suitable number of improvised tungsten munitions capable of bringing a rapid and ruthless destruction to the entire city, striking it with the force and fury of a nuclear bombardment. As of right now, peacekeepers, you have only one option. Throw down your arms and walk into the streets. Our forces, alongside the Virtue Attachment, will be there to take you into custody while we restore our control. You will not be harmed and will be allowed to leave this planet when the time is right. If you do not comply, if the leadership does not give the order to surrender, we will fire this weapon at the city, destroying the heart of the peacekeepers and the vast amount of your military forces, and ending this war. The collateral damage, no doubt, will be great, but it is well worth the freedom of these people. You have 5 minutes to begin surrendering any tricky business, and I will give the order. I pray that you will make the right decision, because if you do not, I will not hesitate.
And Loyal, he is lying. He will not give the order to fire this weapon, and he does not believe the collateral damage is worth it.
Let's fuck him up.
Okay, so here's the thing. In the immediate wake of that, Geist doesn't know that he's unwilling to fire it, and he... Is there anything... Does this room seem like it has any importance, or were we basically lured away from any of the vital systems of the platform?
They would be deeper in.
Okay. I think... Ugh. Geist is going to say... I think I have the best scan. Does anybody have a better scan than two?
No.
Nope.
Oh.
Does Loyal share this information?
If he has a moment to speak, he would just immediately say, "You won't do it. You won't kill all those people. You won't kill your soul like that. You won't."
I think hearing that, Geist puts up his haze field, and Pierce can fucking suck it.
Okay.
He doesn't move. He doesn't make a move to attack. He's still standing still.
Oh, but the people outside.
How do we disable this fucking thing?
He says, I think what... if it's going to turn into a huge fight immediately, that's fine. But...
He's not moving.
Okay. I think Geist is going to be like, "Pierce, I know you think that whatever you're doing is the right thing and the only way, but you give me something, please. Why?"
"We are like children in a river, and we cannot swim. The Custrus can at least... They can stay afloat. If they die, Garrett, if they are scattered, that's it. Their traditions will fall to the wayside, and humanity will be left at the whims of these tides, of these things. Please."
"What is it that you're preserving, then? Their little communion happy place? That's worth all this? That little fucking bubble? I've been there, Pierce. It's not real. It's a fucking dream. And you would do all this to try and save a fucking dream from something that you can't even articulate."
"It's not a dream, Garrett. It's reinforcement. It's armor against these things, these puppet masters. It's not just a coincidence that we got caught in all of this, the Clusterists. Sure, I know that there are greater things at work here with Tyrell and all that, but they're just pieces on the board. You have to ask who's moving the pieces, and it's not people, it's forces, it's tides. It's so much bigger than everything, than anyone gives it credit to, and no one will believe me, and I accept that. I tried telling the generals this. They thought I was crazy, so I defected. And I'll do it. I'll fire if I have to."
And that's a lie. I guess, you know, do you have your haze field up?
I put it up. I would maybe be amenable to dropping it if he feels like he has to say something, but...
So, what you would, if all this full disclosure, Anila would be saying something to you.
Okay, I mean, if that occurs to me, sure. I mean, he's already said his piece. I'll drop it. Geist, I think, especially as this conversation is going on, maybe the Nyla thing occurs to him and he drops it.
Yeah. Well, she would be saying to you,
"What the hell's going on up there?"
I want to ask Pierce, ask him, "Is there anyone else on this station right now besides you?"
Yeah, he would say yes. Yes, there is. And they're waiting for my order. I assure you, if you take one step forward, there's nothing you can do to stop this now. Just surrender. Even your railgun, Garrett, can't penetrate the armor of those inner layers. You'd have to get past me. You'd have to get past the frames outside. Give up. Stop it. Do you want all those people to die?
Fuck. I think... Oh, Christ.
I want to get closer to him. I want to just...
Okay.
I want to step towards him just like very non-threateningly, if that's even possible, just really slowly.
Roll it.
Yeah, I want to try to do this while opening a psychic link.
I think that's a sway.
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, it is.
Brian? blow on those dice.
We need some more of that magic air, man.
Okay.
Oof.
What's my position?
Desperate?
Yep. Got my three sway.
Oh, okay. It's partial.
It's partial.
It's a partial. 1-5.
It's still bad, but it's a partial.
Okay, so I'm just going to, before I say what I'm going to say next, I just want to make it clear to you that your consequence is that you don't have any consequence. I'm not going to give you one. Because I don't need to. And here's why. Pierce drops to a knee, and he opens his cockpit, and he says, I can't do it. It's not... Maybe it's worth it, but I can't do it. I'm sorry. And then another voice and a face comes onto your cockpit screens. It is a man, haggard and unshaven, with dark rings under his eyes. And Joseph, you immediately recognize him because you last saw him in a picture in Marigold Marion's room shortly after you killed her. This is her brother. And he says, oh. I won't let them get away with this. Oh, this fuck. Is for my sister, you fucking animals.
Oh, God.
And he slaps on something on the control panel. Someone in the video tackles him to the ground. Pierce whispers, no. There's an electric thrum, and the entire structure rumbles as it fires on its target.
Oh, fuck.
And we resist this consequence.
It's not a consequence.
That's what happens in the narrative.
Okay. Oh, fuck. Oh, okay.
Hey, we didn't do it, though.
I think Geist... closes his eyes, and he says, just inside of his own cockpit, not even with his communications on, I will put on the crown right now if you can stop this, if I can stop this. Does anything happen?
Loyal, you hear Geist's words, despite him not saying them to you. A perfect clarity comes over you, and you know that now, this moment, is the time. The crown looms in front of you, floating. The sheer gravity of the object is hard to resist. Its influence is prying apart your mind, trying to push you into completing this act of providence. All you need to do is reach out, grab it, and put it on Geist's head.
I don't think there's any conscious thought anymore. There's just like, as soon as those rods fired, it's just an overwhelming sense of dread, cold chill over the entire body, and as soon as that crown appears, he just reaches out with his frame and turns around from where he was trying to approach Pierce and starts to put it on the changeling's head.
So it is a normal sized object. Like, it's in your cockpit. You need to walk over there.
It looks really cute on the changeling.
Oh, yeah, I have to get out?
Gotta get out.
Or you have to at least open your cockpit.
Sure, I'll open my cockpit.
Yeah, when Pierce opened his, I think I would have started opening mine too, but yeah, I guess we put our frames closer together so that we can actually talk to each other. And just wordlessly, I have it, gripping it in my little exopod arms.
You feel like it's a vision made real. And you feel like a presence flow through you, like a gateway, just like channeling itself into this crown in your hand. It is thrumming with potential.
Will martyrdom stop this? Can martyrdom stop this? Do I get that feeling? That's the only thing that I'm feeling.
That's a question.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know. I don't know that you can know. You could roll, and I could tell you if you roll well. Or you might just have to make a leap of faith.
Yeah.
Would this be a gather information roll or a regular style consequence roll?
I think it's just gather information at this point.
Then we lose nothing by trying. Geist yeah. believes it. I think Geist maybe with some kind of misunderstanding of the nature of psychic phenomenon assumes that because he said, I will take the crown if you can help me stop this, he assumes that it has to be able to do it, and maybe that speaks to how gullible he is and the fact that Pierce was right. But whatever. He's in it. He knows that he has no other way to save these people, and so this is his only shot, and he really wants to do it.
I don't think I'm really asking. I feel like I'm more just praying desperately, like, please stop this. Please don't let this happen. Please, 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 martyrdom, please.
You are filled with, like I said, familiar visions. Visions of you placing the crown on Geist's head. The stars burning. And that grand column of blood which filled the city, receding, like a waterfall flowing in reverse, with the city being rebuilt beneath it. The time has come to crown the new king. It is in your hands. Your cockpits are both opened towards each other, adjoined. Geist, you see Loyal. You see the crown in his hands.
X is kind of backing off.
It's really
yeah,
happening.
That's a great question. What are Joseph and Hex doing? This is really really fucked up. There's a very bad vibe in the room right now. Even for you, Joseph.
What are you doing, Hex?
Hex gives Joseph a little ping and says, if you want to be part of this mess, have fun. I'll be waiting outside. And he leaves.
As you say that, Joseph, like, opens his cockpit and just kind of, like, steps out and falls to the ground. And he, like, meets your eyes as you're walking out and just gives you a nod. And then he remains in his place. He kind of puts his hand to his chin and he just watches.
Oh, my God.
Got the popcorn.
Yeah.
It is being lowered onto your head, Geist.
Exopod hands shaking like a leaf in the wind. Like a kelp in the tide.
Geist. Zach, this will kill your character. You'll have time to do things, but it will kill you.
I am aware, and I think Geist is aware. I feel like you don't accept the mantle of martyrdom without being aware that you're going to die, unless you're a real fucking moron.
Like you said at the very start of this, what did they expect to happen? It's called martyrdom.
That's true.
Yeah, he knows. And I think he believes that he has achieved his own completely worthless goals, and that saving all of these lives, even of people that he once did not even believe to really be human, is a worthy goal. And also Pierce can go fuck himself. There's probably a little edge of spite to it as well. But really, he's just like, I gotta stop this horrible thing from happening.
Sure. Loyal, in the back of your mind, and maybe... and yours too, Geist, there's this a small voice, a small pleading voice that is, it is overwhelmed, it is drowned out, ignored. There's just too much here to hear it. The crown is lowered onto your head. It is like a red hot halo being put onto your scalp. Even before it makes contact, you can feel this horrible heat emanating from it. It's a miracle Loyal could even hold on to it. And as you endure the pain, and it is placed on your head, it burns you. You smell your own burning flesh, a smell that you are well familiar with by now. And the burning spreads, creeping its way in through your skin, through the bone of your skull, setting your mind on fire. The flame's out of control. It takes your memories, your thoughts. They're all burned away, reduced for fertile ashes, for something new to take its place. A blissful, warm darkness overtakes you. The world becomes fleshy and red, and there is stillness. And we'll leave it there.